Persona! I mean, hello, and welcome to the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I'm gonna need to go press OB, go the, are we on the air? Sorry, I'm just so busy playing with Persona, I'm playing Joker on Switch right now, and just listening to those remixes. Thank you, Daddy Sakurai, I love you.
You monster, how dare you play video games during a video game podcast? There's dignity and order to this, Will.
Can you really blame me, man?
Yes!
We have Joker in Smash! Persona in Smash! I was like, when I first heard, I think I was fanboy. Can you really blame me?
Yes, I can. I'm the host. I can blame everyone but myself. Okay, and hopefully not playing Super Smash Bros. Right now is Tellius Tyler.
You guys are missing the lead in patch 3.0. They didn't fix Marth's tippers, and the patch is trash. Game's trash.
There we go.
Tipper Forward Smash is still broken, and Dancing Blade is still broken. These are the real problems. This is what we needed in the patch. Joker, we could have waited for him for another 2 months, given the torture they put us through. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, Joker's a lot of fun. I don't know if he's that good, but I think he's a lot of fun.
All right, well, we'll be talking about him a little bit later as we break down everything of the version 3.0 update. But for right now, it's time for What Have You Been Playing? Now, I'm going to ask you guys to... You could say you played Smash Brothers, but again, we're going to save the Joker stuff for the next segment. So I'll go first because in light of me not having to review a lot of video games since our Phoenix Wright Trilogy code was apparently only for Australia, users only... Bummer. But I have regressed back into Tetris 99. And I am glad to say I haven't missed a step. I have not gotten a first place yet, but in my first match last night, I went all the way to fifth place. So, you know, for not playing it for over a week, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, when you take a break for a long time and then go back to it, you suddenly get that luck of beginners again. Like, you one-shot it, if anything else. It's kind of interesting.
Let's see, and then I have been playing Heroes, even though I'm nowhere near close to summoning levels. I don't even have 100 orbs because I blew them all on the Galia pack. But I have been enjoying the forging bonds, including the very cool conversations with Kynagus and Mordecai, because this was something we talked about before. Forging bonds is a great way to enforce the story of these characters, and I love that Mordecai's storyline is that he's sad that in Asker, the battles are just the same as they are in Tellius. Because if you don't know the character, he's Lagus, who is a big, big tiger, but he's got the most gentle heart, to the extent that when he fights somebody, right before he kills them, he'll close his eyes because he doesn't want to see their pain on their face. And so when he gets summoned to Asker, he is filled with joy because he thinks, oh, I'm in a new world. And then he finds out that the battles never end. That they just don't stop, just like on his world. So he's heartbroken because it's like, is there no place in this universe that has peace? Like, lasting, true peace. And it's heartbreaking. So, but all this is just reminds me of Tyler's point of like, why can't this be more in the story? You know, why does it just have to be a forging bonds event and everything?
Because
there's so much. And I know it'd be hard to do with, like, every character, but, you know, imagine doing, like, this for every single like new banner with all the characters like every other week or so, and just enforcing their stories even more. It would be so much better because I'm doing like the easiest stuff I can to get orbs because I know that eventually there will be another banner that I want, but I have seriously lost like super interest in this game. It's sad.
Again, it definitely has its ups and downs, to say the least. And also, regarding that new banner you said, they did actually show up the next one, which is basically another spring-based banner, which is called, Special Heroes, a season
it's the picnic
for picnics.
Like, yeah, because that's what we need in a Fire Emblem game, more picnics!
Hey, come on, with all the war and gloom and all, I think we need something of a picnic, don't we agree?
shut up, Will.
Like, come on, you have Jenny with marshmallows. Jenny with marshmallows. Can you not be any more cuter than that?
Yeah, you can. It wouldn't even be that hard. Although I do give props to them for naming Felicia's character off the menu.
Yes, that was good. And her quote was very funny as well.
Yeah.
Because so, people tell me they love my cooking, and then they laugh.
Yeah, they
Poor girl. And also, the Tempest Trial as well is going to be the special hero, Leo Extra Tomatoes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, who is it going to be?
Leo Extra Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. They like already his... had... Oh, okay. Gotcha.
My gosh.
Yeah, they always have to get a Fates character in on these banners. Like I wrote that in our article so long ago. It's still true. They always need to get one, or at least one Fates or Awakening character in on the special banners.
Yeah,
or this... Fire Emblem Heroes OCs.
Yeah. So I mean, if you think about it, there's three Fates in this one, and then there's two Shadows of Valentia ones. So you know, at least there's somewhat of a balance, but still, yeah.
Yeah.
And all I can think about as I look upon my computer screen to the date of 4/18/2019 is that we still got 3 months till Three Houses.
Hey, it's getting here. It's coming quick.
It's coming.
Because you think about it, we're getting into the E3 cycle. Like in two or 3 weeks, we'll be starting the On the Road to E3, as we generally do.
Yes, we will.
And then E3 comes, and that's a big week of ecstasy. And then it's 3 weeks after that. So
No, it's July 26th.
Well.
Not June, so that'd be like
weeks. What week is E3 this year? It's usually the second week, right?
It's
the
10th through the 13th or something like that.
Yeah, so good mess by you. I'm a little optimistic.
It's all right.
There's how many days in June? 30 days in June?
30 days in June.
Yeah. So, well, that's one less day.
I appreciate the effort. Anyway, but yeah, so it's been a light week. But I have, of course, been playing Smash Brothers and Joker, and we'll be talking about that soon. So I look forward to battling you guys, hopefully, this weekend after we get done with the Splatfest and all that. So we'll see what we can do. All right, Will, keep your persona in check.
Don't worry.
I have to worry, Will.
So yes, obviously you can tell I have been playing Joker and Persona, which we'll be saving, don't worry Todd. And other games that I've been playing are of course naturally Faye, and basically for me I kind of really enjoyed the whole Ada Resort thing. Like I love seeing like the whole interaction, little tidbits of it, and right now just basically upgrading the infinite, so it's kind of a cute little thing. It's nothing very deep, if not it could be very shallow, but it's a little cute little distraction while we're waiting for like the big banners and events. But yeah, I've been playing with Faye, and also recently played on Overwatch's new event, which is something regarding Uprising. I forgot the name, I don't remember off the top of my head, but basically the newest event in Overwatch with the new skins, and basically with Tracer, Winston, Genji, and Mercy. And from what I've played, a lot of people basically didn't really feel fulfilled. It was like, it's kind of like it felt flat, and I can definitely empathize regarding to that view. Because like the event, the cutscenes were like basically CG cutscenes themselves, like very DreamWorks-esque to say the least. But yeah, the mission itself, like it's very typical and like touch and go. So I can definitely sympathize with going to people saying like this event kind of felt flat. Great beginning, but just then felt flat at the end, unfortunately. So, but I kind of enjoyed it if you like your this little distraction. So yeah, I've been playing a bit of Overwatch and. Also, just been touch and go here with Treasure Coast, you know, just making my way through. But overall, yeah, it's also kind of been similar. It's been a light week. I was actually thinking about maybe again double dipping to getting Final Fantasy X and X-2 for the Switch, but I already got it on my PS3, so I'm not in any hurry to get it. But if you get a chance, to definitely if you love Final Fantasy, because X and X-2 is well, X itself is very reviewed as like one of the best Final Fantasies of like the PS2 era. So. I'm probably definitely thinking about getting that in the line, maybe. But yeah, over for me, it's just been kind of a light week myself as well.
Yeah, it's been light for me too. So light, in fact, that I re-downloaded Heroes because I re-downloaded Heroes. I kept seeing memes of the story, and I actually was like, I kind of want to know what's going on in the story, and I couldn't find it anywhere because I guess nobody covers that, which I understand why nobody would cover that, but there was just nothing on what was going on in the story online. So I downloaded that, and I was running through some stuff, and I When I came back, I got 20 free orbs. Shireena, like, guilt-tripped me real bad. She was like, oh, I thought you were gone forever. And
for
I
real?
Was like,
that's what happened?
Yeah. And then she gave me 20 orbs, but it was a one-time only thing. So it came
really?
Up one time only. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, with those 20 orbs, I got, like, 4 three-star characters. So that wasn't fun. But, yeah, so I caught up on that. I'm downloading Cuphead as we speak.
Ah,
Cuphead came out on Switch today, so I'll be dabbling in that soon enough. I'm excited to, you know, check that out. Maybe I'll play that. My older brother's coming in to Charlotte from New Jersey at like 1 a.m. So he's only going to be here for like 12 hours, but we always play Cuphead. So Cuphead could be had tonight, which would be exciting. Outside of that, I've been playing Joker, and yeah, we'll be talking about that imminently.
All right, so we're actually going to do things a little differently tonight because, much like last week, there honestly hasn't been too much news this week. But we do have some, of course, some big, smaller pieces to talk about, so we're going to do that, then another special topic, and then settle it in Splat. Got all that? Good, because I'm not repeating it. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, if you recall, a month ago or so, Reggie Fils-Aimé, our dear president, former president of Nintendo of America, announced his retirement. And his retirement became official on 4/15/19, which was this past Sunday. Oh, wait, hold on. Monday. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, and then that same day, Reggie Fils-Aimé got a Twitter handle. And of course, a million people followed him already.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot because we Nintendo fans are loyal even though they are gone. So Reggie posted a lot of interesting things, like mainly memorabilia pics from his time at Nintendo and a couple of his parting gifts, which we'll be talking about also in a bit. But it's nice to see Reggie on Twitter because you know he's going to be very entertaining.
Reggie currently has 386,000 followers.
Oh, really?
Wow.
They cracked a million, huh? I'm misremembering.
But still, your love of Reggie blinds you to the accurate number.
My body was ready for a million users, I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe he'll get there.
Okay, you know, he'll get there because, again, Nintendo fans are low. But still, Reggie on Twitter is going to be a funny thing, especially if he has like all these behind-the-scenes Nintendo memorabilia stuff. It's going to be fun. And in case you're curious about what he was given at the end of his tenure at Nintendo, he was given a special notebook signed by a bunch of people from Nintendo. He was given a special Mario statue, a Mario golf ball, I think that's what that is, or it's just a regular...
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. He got a Virtual Boy.
That's pretty funny.
Boy.
Yeah, that's hilarious on numerous level. He got a literal... Okay, not a literal. He got a plastic butt to kick.
Again, ever since that first appearance, like, yeah, I'm all about kicking ass, about taking names, and we're about making video games. He
there
has a
go.
Book for taking names, he has a butt to actually kick. No.
Yeah. So, and then he was given a very special art piece from none other than Retro Studios, saying thanks for playing, and it's him with Samus and the Donkey Kong crew, which is of course the two retro games, franchises that Retro has worked on in their time with Nintendo, outside of a little help on Mario Kart and Breath of the Wild. However, if you have not heard, there are some who are saying that there is a secret tease character in this photo. Now, you can't tell immediately from the photo because of everything in there, but if you focus in on the Mario statue section and where Samus is, there is a robotic hand sticking out right next to there. And there is no one in Donkey Kong or Metroid that has that particular hand, which means that the Mario statue was put there specifically to block that character. And the internet is going wild.
Interesting.
Yeah, trying to figure out what the heck this thing is.
Oh!
Yeah,
you see it now?
I'm looking at the perspective right now, and yeah, it almost seems like it's... Yeah, he perfectly placed that statue right in front. It's almost like that hand is like saying, like, hello! Yes,
yeah.
And, like, teasing us.
First
literally.
Of all, I love how Diddy Kong is drawn in that picture.
Oh, yeah, it's a great picture.
And Dixie Kong. Donkey Kong, you know, teeth are a little weird, but I still like it. That robot arm, that is interesting.
Yeah, and so, and for the record, there was apparently, let's see, Enrique Riviera, who is a concept artist at Retro. It's not the guy who did this, but he's one of them who helped out, apparently. He retweeted the post and he did a winking face on it. So, yeah. Now,
You tease Reggie.
there are a lot of theories about what this is. There's some who think it's actually something from the Virtual Boy, which would be interesting. Some think it's from a Star Fox Grand Prix, which is the long rumored net retro game. Some think it's from a canceled project that they are working on. Here's what I want to pitch to you guys. What if it's Custom Robo?
I mean, it could be. I
It
really don't know
could be.
enough about Custom Robo
Yeah,
to
I mean,
comment.
I haven't played it enough myself, but it seems like, if we're talking about robotic characters, Custom Robo,
Yeah,
that
true.
fits. And that would make it like the MK, no, say the Ray MK3 or something like that. And he's a small character, which could be why you only see his arm, because if you notice, you don't see any other parts of his body because of how Mario is placed. So that means it's got to be a really small character. So, I don't know. But yeah, so
Because
this.
again, the hand is just three fingers and a thumb
Yeah.
and just a little block at the end.
And
It's like
clearly
nothing really much
robotic.
to go
Oh
on.
my gosh, I know what it is. It's the Dragon Zord.
Yes.
It does look like the Dragon Zord end, though. I will admit that. So, but naturally the internet is freaking out because they're like, this is the game that Retro has been working on, and they put it into the thanks for playing because it's going to be announced soon. So now everyone's begging Reggie to show the picture in full. So.
It's really fun, kind of funny. Like, even though Reggie is officially out of Nintendo, like he still holds the reputation, and now not being affiliated, he could just do whatever he wants now, including like, yeah, okay, I'm just gonna have some fun here, have some fun there. He can do anything he wants now, which I'm very happy for him. Like, he's just gonna have fun for the after years now.
So again, Reggie, we wish you all the best, and we hope you enjoy your retirement with your family, with your friends, and just know that we will always support you because you are Nintendo. Not crying, you're crying. Shut up.
Don't remind me.
All right, my body wasn't ready for
God, that was
this.
the worst poem I've ever heard,
That
I
wasn't a
gotta say.
poem. I was speaking from my Nintendo heart, you
But
monster.
yeah, no, I mean, listen, that was a good try. That was a good try, but I'm not crying yet, so you didn't do good enough.
I was.
You heartless. You heartless.
You're fired. Okay, listen to me, Tyler. You're fired. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the opposite of crying. Combat. Mortal Kombat. Yes, I went there. Shut up. All right, so Mortal Kombat is less than a week away. I'm sorry, Mortal Kombat 11 is less than a week away, and to celebrate, NetherRealm Studios released an absolutely epic launch trailer showcasing just how freaking crazy this game is going to be. Oh yeah. So there was, of course, all the characters we know are going to be there, references to games past, to Johnny Cages, and proof definitive that these past versions can affect their future versions, which was a question in the game. So, because we see Johnny Cage in the younger version get sliced by a bullet, and then older Johnny Cage has a scar now. So, yes. And then, yeah.
I loved it that moment, like, yeah, they just shot our faces. And, like, it just like, ah!
Oh man, he's gonna get us killed. So, yeah, it's gonna be good. And then, we got to hear, of course, the classic Mortal Kombat music. Always good to hear. And we got, of course, more features of gameplay. They actually showed a Switch gameplay video, which you obviously couldn't tell too much because they did it on the ha I'm sorry. They did it on the handheld. So, you're gonna have to judge it for yourself, but based on what we saw, the cutscenes still look crisp, the gameplay looks tight. So that was honestly the big worry going into this Switch, was would it be able to handle these clearly top-tier graphics, and apparently so. So
Right. And my opinion on the trailer is basically from on the Switch handheld, obviously there is that visual downgrade as like we expected none of us. But the way, again, as you said, is like very crisp. It's still fluid for what it is, and for me, it feels like, yeah, it holds up well.
I think there's obviously going to be at least a little downgrade just because this Switch handheld doesn't have 1080p. So there's going to be
Yes,
a
of course,
little,
yes.
but it's not like, like light years, which is what a lot of people were worried about. And of course, you don't have to play on handheld. I will, but you don't have to.
And they've said that they're prioritizing the frame rate, which is
Right.
really what matters. I mean,
Exactly.
I'm sure it's going to look downgraded significantly, like when you put them side by side. But I love the way games look on Switch. I really don't need them to look perfectly. As long as that frame rate is good, that's what really matters.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There you
Yes,
go.
sir.
So I'm very excited for this. I probably will get it, even if we don't get it review codes for it, because it just looks interesting. And then another story for Mortal Kombat confirmed that the story mode is going to be very, very long, which is awesome because this is a story that you really shouldn't rush. And as NetherRealm has proved with the Injustice series, they know how to do long storylines. So
Ah, true, 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 true. Yes.
if you are a Mortal Kombat fan, this is a title you are definitely going to want to check out.
I mean, the only thing I'm just kind of slightly worried about is regarding to their online play, because, as you know, Nintendo Switch
That's a
Online
great
is
point.
the best. So
I'm
that's
not
my
worried.
only caveat.
I'm not worried. So, moving
I think
on.
NetherRealm has its own servers, though, right?
Yeah,
So.
it's a NetherRealm thing. So if it doesn't work, that's on NetherRealm, not on Nintendo. So.
I mean, maybe. I don't really know. I have no idea where the main problems come from. I do know that Nintendo's internet is often trash, so it's possible that something on Nintendo's end would be the problem.
I've had no problems with it. Haha. All right, moving on. Amiibo, just really quick. Pichu, Pokemon Trainer, and Isabelle are they coming out? Are they? What was it
Yeah, they're
called?
coming. They got announced ever since the release of Ken, Daisy, and what was that one person? Young Link. Yeah, ever since they got released. Yeah, and after this recent Joker reveal, yeah, they have announced that these three next three Amiibos is coming. I think sometime down in July, if I remember correctly. I need to check double check the site. But yeah, they officially are stated to come pretty soon.
There you go. So be on the lookout for that. And then one of my personal favorite pieces of news, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, exclusively on the Nintendo Switch, has been officially dated for North America at July 19th. Now, I'll talk about the date in a second, but they also revealed the box art for the game, which for the record looks freaking amazing. But it shows a bunch of characters, including, of course, your stalwarts. You got, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and everything. But they also show a bunch of characters who have not been confirmed before, including Spider-Gwen, Venom, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Deadpool, Scarlet Witch, Daredevil, I like that one, Storm, Falcon, Doctor Strange, Nightcrawler, and more. So this is good. And if you recall, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games prides themselves on the very wide roster of characters that they have. So the fact that they're going truly all out on this, and of course all the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be there, it's going to be awesome. So
That is cool. I don't know which Spider-Man I'm more excited for, Miles or Spider-Gwen.
There you go. So also shout out to Captain Marvel Carol Danvers, who was prominently on the cover. So goes to show how much they appreciate her, as they should. But yes, it's Spider-Gwen. 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 Never mind. Now, let's talk about the downside of this, of course. It's a week before Fire Emblem! You had one job, Marvel! Put it in a position to sell well and not interfere with other Nintendo games! This is interference! I'm mad at you!
That's unfortunately the competition with it. I mean, yeah, like for them to place a game that's like 1 week before a main first party release, is Fireman considered first party, or is it
Yeah,
third or
yes.
second party?
Did you just
It's,
seriously
yeah.
ask that? What the frick,
No, no,
dude?
no. I just need to make sure I was
We'll
correct.
edit
Like,
that
it's been a
out.
while.
Yes, it's first party. It's the Intelligent Systems, or yeah, who is 100% first party Nintendo.
Okay, just need to make sure. Just need to make
Oh,
sure.
my
But
heart.
yeah, and yeah, it's just kind of that's kind of the unfortunate thing with these kind of schedulings. I just kind of have to wonder, like, why on earth would you put the game, which like, is obviously a big title, such as Three Houses, next in the same month. I mean, heck, I would say at least give it space out at least 2 weeks, I would say. But no, it had to be 1 week. I just can't help but wonder who makes these decisions.
I don't know. But it reminds me of 2017, which is, I was about to say a year ago, but I'm like, nope, that was 2018. No, it was 2017 when they did Fire Emblem Warriors and then Mario Odyssey.
Right.
So.
And both of those sold, obviously Odyssey, but both of those sold over a million. So it kind of worked out in the end, although, you know, who knows how well Warriors could have done had it had its own month.
Mm,
yeah.
Yes.
Now the only caveat I'll give to this is that as a guy who's played the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, it shouldn't take you more than a week to beat. You know, it's got a good storyline. It's got a long storyline, but because of the gameplay elements of it, you know, being, you know, swapping between four characters and a, you know, beat 'em up style thing, it shouldn't take you more than a week to beat, barring, you know, being like Tyler and having a rigorous 9-to-5 schedule.
Oh my god. Have I told you how awful it is? It's the worst.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm glad I work from home now.
Yeah, that used to be me. The good old days.
Good old days.
I didn't have any money then, though, so that wasn't so fun.
I have money.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
But I am excited for this. I'm totally getting this. Actually, the original Ultimate Alliance games was one of my favorite titles on PS2. And I know that may sound weird, given you know, I had Kingdom Hearts and Sly Cooper and Metal Gear and all that, but there was just something about the epicness of having all the characters, okay, pretty much all the characters, come together and, you know, fighting, and they have really, really epic cutscenes. Like, I'll always remember this one where it's like a bunch of Doombots fighting the Avengers, and one of them, like, hits Thor, and he's like, looks at him and goes, "Soulless machine, how dare you strike the son of Odin!" And BAM! You know, it was just really, really fun. So, unfortunately, Ultimate Alliance 2 had, like, these really bad glitches. Even in the PS2 version, I couldn't finish the game. I kept getting stuck, because they wouldn't let me advance. So, hopefully that won't happen because it's exclusive on the Switch and they totally won't screw them over, I pray. So, yeah, I'm very excited about this. So it's going to be a very fun couple of weeks in July between Marvel and Fire Emblem. Yeah, never thought I'd say those two in the same sentence, that's for sure. All right, we've waited long enough. Just when you thought we were never going to get the announcement of Joker in Joker's release date in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, they just drop it without teasing it at all. I'm serious. I'm away from my computer. I come back and everyone's talking about Joker. I'm like, wait, what? They just announced it? How does that work? So, yes, Joker DLC version 3.0.0 is out right now for you to both download and purchase. So, yeah, and this is a certainly interesting one because, of course, we've got Joker, who you can get singularly for $5.99, or you could get the whole fighter pack, which includes Joker, the stages, and all the other upcoming characters for $25. I recommend that one. And, of course, we've got, all the patches. We've got Stage Builder, Video Editor, Smash World, which is on the mobile app, which I don't care for. So, all right, guys, first thoughts. Will, I'll start with you.
What if, I mean, I was working on like the whole, I was working on this article for the site, and like first, we had the first render shown up, and then just a few minutes later, the official trailer came. I was like, what?
Yeah,
I was like,
pretty much.
Okay, I was quickly typing up, retyping my article to fit, like, just get this thing out there for the site, and like, yeah, the trailer's finally out, there it's coming out, and even better, tomorrow! And I was like, what? I mean, to say the least, to say that I was freaking out is an understatement. I was like, it's happening. Nintendo casually dropped this out of nowhere. We never see it coming. I'm sorry, I know that's a joke overdone, but we never saw this one coming.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when I saw that thing, I was like, it's coming out tomorrow. Hell, yes, yes, yes. And then when I saw the trailer, I was pretty much acting the same way when we got first announcement back at the VGAs. It's like, it's just this trailer was just pure service for the fans. I mean, if you're not a fan of Persona, then obviously like Joker is kind of like a new unique character to be introduced to. But if you're like a fan of Persona, like myself, it's just pure service. It's like an odd false. And like,
I heard people a lot of Persona fans didn't like the voices of the Phantom Thieves though in the trailer.
Oh gosh.
Whoa. They are reprised by the original VAs. It's the same as the same game, so I don't know what the heck they talk about.
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
reprised by the original VAs.
It's the anime syndrome, because if you either like a voice in an anime or you don't, it's the same thing, you know? So.
Right. I'll quickly wrap it up, but basically, like, listening to the remixes, especially they paying tribute service to Persona 4 and Persona 3, that's just icing on the cake. So this, like, it basically celebrates everything Persona. And
now, there were two remixes, right? So one was the You'll Never See It Coming, right? And then the other one, what are the names of the songs?
There are 11 tracks, and I believe there are like four remixes, because there is Beneath the Bass remix, there is the Nevermore remix, if I remember correctly, and one more is for the Velvet Room theme remix for all Persona games in general. So 11 songs, I think, like three or four remixes total. But when I first when I was playing them during at lunch, it was like, I'm not joking. It literally brought tears to my eyes listening to this. It really hits me. It really hits my soul, boys. It's like, it just moved me to tears when I heard those remixes. And
that's awesome.
Also fun fact is because it was remixed by Ace, who also did the I think it was Xenoblade Chronicles 2, or was it? Well, I know Ace did one of the games recent. I think it was Xenoblade. I can't remember. I need to double check on that. But yeah, the remixes, I mean, if you listen to Persona songs, they are top notch. They're just simply top notch. And playing with the classic mode and everything else is just like,
what was his classic mode's theme?
The classic mode itself is basically like, as his mementos, you basically fight against shadows. It's all like the dark forms of like characters like Dark, Game & Watch, Dark Pit. And all that.
Okay.
And,
Dark Samus and all. Yeah.
Meta
Knight,
yeah.
All of them.
And also, it basically plays reference as well to like the Persona game as well. I mean, not to spoil anything, but if you get the context, you will easily know like which characters are referencing to which bosses in Persona 5. And especially with that last one when you face Incineroar, which I know what it was clearly referencing.
Ah.
And the last boss obviously is the Masked Hand, but of course, you gotta have the Masked Hand face against Joker, because again, voiced by the same guy, Xander Mobus, and Joker versus the Masked Hand and the announcer, all in that one single stage is like, Xander Mobus must have had really a lot of fun voicing that segment. I'm guessing. So overall, I was just happy. Absolutely ecstatic when I saw this thing and finally playing. I was just ecstatic, boys.
All right, Tyler, how about you? I know you have some interesting feelings on Joker.
Yes, I mean, I've been playing him. I played him a little bit. I didn't get to play him a whole ton. He's really fast, and he can jump really high, really fast. Like you know how Greninja can get up to his maximum jump super quick? Joker is like that. So, like, if you're napping, he will jump up and catch you. And a lot of his moves, I think, are pretty strong. I like his up tilt where he, like, flips the knife above his head and it spins around in place. That's a pretty good anti-air, I think. But he's really not that powerful, which, I mean, makes sense. You can't have super speed and super strength.
Do enlighten me on that, because, like, what do you mean? Like, please give details.
His KO power is not – his forward smash is strong. His down smash is okay, and his up smash is okay. But he really doesn't have a ton of good kill moves, and his specials are all fairly underwhelming. To start, because he gets Arsene, and then he's really, really strong. His normal gun special is like the most useless move in the game. he stands there for like half a second before firing one bullet that does like 2%, and then he like stands there for two more seconds, and then fires another bullet that does like 2%.
Granted, the neutral special gun, yeah, you definitely have to get used to it. It is just a one-shot deal, and you can move while still shooting the gun.
That's pretty cool, so, yeah, and it does do more damage from point-blank range.
It definitely takes a while.
Yeah, it's not a very good move. And his counter is weird, because he just takes damage. It's like Incineroar, where Incineroar takes 4% and then he gets charged up. That's kind of what it's most similar to. He'll do a little bit of damage to you back from like a flare, but sometimes that flare misses.
Yeah, once you're like taking the using verbal guard, you have to let go once at the once they're done with the hit in order to like basically
Yes.
blow them away.
Right,
And the
right.
counters, the magic and physical counters, yeah, that thing you have to also kind of like a bit of timing in there as well.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
just also like you said, like he doesn't have any KO moves. I kind of have to disagree on that because like when he does have the Ahas, especially when he uses gets Arsene, his Aegon is very powerful if you know how to use it. Because like when I use Arsene's
That's his side B,
forward
right?
B,
His
yes, the
side B is
side B.
never a kill move, even when he has Arsene. I mean, Arsene, when he has Arsene, he can kill you really early with 1,000 different moves. Like that changes the game. He's a really good character when Arsene is active.
I mean, that's kind of the point. Once you summon profoundly, they are just buffed up. And Joker with Aegon, I've seen like afterwards, like people using Aegon to actually do KOs, and like yeah, Aegon is a very powerful KO potential, honestly. And I don't know, like for me, it feels like he is very KO potential. I mean, again, he's not strong, he's not like a powerhouse like Ike, but like again, for the Ahas, it builds damage. He's about basically building a damage over time, and then once reach that high level, he can smash you. So again, he's just basically like a poison dealer, damage dealer over time before he
Compared to character
smashes.
like the compared to the top tier characters in the game, like Olimar and like Pichu and Peach, he does not have high kill power. Like those characters can kill you with 1,000 different moves at like 80%. Joker needs to have Arsene active to be able to kill at those low percents. And without Arsene active, I mean, I was hitting some up airs at like 140, and people weren't dying still. I think his back air is fairly strong, and I think his back throw is fairly strong. But I mean, nothing too special there. I mean, Arsene is how this character is played. His grappling hook is pretty good without Arsene. You can like
Yes, good,
people
right,
are
good.
jumping, you can call him out and slam him into the ground with it, which is very cool. And he has right now. I've seen some videos of not they're not infinites because you can smash DI out of them, but he has really good strings of drag down combos where he'll hit you with his up air and drag you down at the last hit, and then he'll grab you and throw you up again, and then he'll drag you back down, and that's all pretty strong. So I mean he's a solid character, I think, but I don't think that he's a top tier character right now, that's for sure. I mean, you look at a lot of the best characters in this game, they have silly stuff, and I mean it's so he's been out for less
Less than
than
a day.
24 hours.
Same.
Yeah. So
Less
it's
than a
hard to
day.
say, but just from the basics of what we I've seen of him so far, I think he's probably pretty good. A character with that speed and that jump height automatically going to be a solid character. I don't totally love his hitboxes though. I think he's probably going to be a low high tier or a high mid tier character at the end of the day.
See, for me, first of all, and we haven't talked about this yet, but so I'm going to bring it up now. I was just happy to, actually be able to download the character.
That was the
Yes,
worst.
yes,
Because,
yes,
as our title noted, Joker literally broke the eShop
yes.
when it came out because Nintendo told us when Joker was going to be available on the 17th, and everyone tried to download him at once. And, of course, when that happens, you break the internet. And it lasted for hours.
Yeah, it lasted like almost a good solid 5 hours. Like six, 7 hours. Yes, just
Yeah.
about. Yes.
He was supposed to come out like 8, and I tried to download him in like, I don't know, 1 or 2, and it finally went through. Nintendo didn't even notice until the next morning, but they said, "Oh yeah, internet's fixed." So,
Yeah, I
thanks, Joker.
couldn't get him until the morning. It was that rough.
That
It was
was that,
just like
yeah.
you would have thought that Nintendo actually learned their lessons with the previous times, including I think even in the previous Smash game for the Wii U, they had a similar situation if I recall correctly.
I don't
So
remember.
yeah, you would expect Nintendo actually learned their lessons, but yeah, though I mean, granted, the Nintendo Switch, we have like how many million of users right now out there, so granted, we
Yeah.
couldn't have expected this.
But this also should speak to how many people wanted Joker. Because if this was just like 100 people, that wouldn't crash a server. But a couple tens of thousands, 100,000, million maybe, You know, that's a lot of people trying to get one character. So you tell me if that's Nintendo's fault that a couple million people tried to download a character.
Yeah, it is their fault.
Whatever.
I don't really think that there's a way to, you know, get around the fact that they should ha their server should be able to handle people downloading a character. I mean, it crashed the whole eShop. It wasn't like it just crashed Smash Bros.
Yeah, it crashed the whole eShop. So, all right. As for my opinions on Joker, I'll admit I've only got to play him about 40 minutes today because, despite my working from home environment, I do, you know, still have to work. So, but I made sure that I played Joker before getting into the podcast tonight. I too did classic mode because I wanted to see how that was. It was fun, and I did a few online matches, including sorry, including having some Joker versus Joker matches, of course. So I've also faced Simon Belmont and totally schooled him. That's what you get. So I had a lot of fun with him. I will agree with Tyler. He is a very fast character, and I actually like that because it allows me to close the distance quickly, which I can't always do with Ike sometimes. But I had fun with him. I think his moves do take a little getting used to because they're not like your typical moves. Like for me, my favorites are of course Ike and Link, and their B ups are, you know, sword attacks, whereas Joker's is a grappling hook which does nothing to enemies. So unless you're falling, you're never going to use B up, which is a little bit weird for me, but whatever. So, I mean, he
That
doesn't
thing
even.
does go a long way.
Oh, it does, but it's just like, even like Pit with his flight, he ascends up, and
Yeah.
like Charizard, he does his spin attack up and he moves, but Joker, he just launches that grappling hook and does nothing unless you're falling to your doom. So, it's just weird that I'm never going to use that B up unless I'm falling off the stage. So, but, I did like his moves for the most part. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but if you press up after firing his gun, he does like a spin attack gun move in the air.
I was trying to
That's
do that.
very
I was like,
cool.
I'm wondering how you do that. I was
It's
trying to
really simple. All you do is you just spam B and then you press up. That's it. And then he does a jumping spin gun down move. It's so awesome.
You gotta press B first, though. If you do it at the same time, it'll just do his up. So.
Of course,
I
of
see, I
course.
see. Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, get a continuous stream of fire going. Wait for them to get close to you. Press up, and then watch as he rains bullets down from above. So, I figured that out totally by accident.
Nice.
So,
Yeah,
hold on, hold on, not done
that's
yet. You had your chance.
okay.
For me though, what really sets him apart is his persona, because I just love it when he summons Arsene and he just gets super powerful. Like his bullets become way more powerful. His side B is a lot more powerful. His smash attacks,
Yes.
it literally makes like a tale of two characters because it's like I'm alone and I could do so much, but then if you wait for Arsene, you have that window where you could do a lot of damage. And in my matches with other Jokers, it literally came down to who could get Arsene out first. So.
Yes. And apparently it pretty much is, again, a lot of people just basically call Persona basically a big giant JoJo reference. As once you have your Persona or stand, it's pretty much game over for the opponent.
So, I like him. I mean, again, it's only been, you know, less than 24 hours, less than a couple hours. I mean, we haven't even played him that long, but I see a lot of potential with him. I'm gonna look forward to playing him more this weekend alongside Splatoon 2 and all of that. So, I look forward to us talking about him in a week and seeing how we've changed in our opinions of him. So,
Yeah.
yeah, and hopefully we can all get together and have a Joker v Joker v Joker fight.
Sure,
That's
definitely consider
something we should really talk about. Joker's
that.
alternate costumes are
Okay. Okay.
phenomenal. They
Oh,
are
yes.
so cool that he has the best alts in the game by far.
So.
Outside of Bowser Jr., who literally is just different characters. Bowser Jr. probably is the best alt. But Joker's are right there. I love the one where he has brown hair. I also love the all blue outfit. That one's pretty cool. His normal outfit's very cool as well.
And yeah, because those actually have some clear references as well. Because as you know, the three games, Red, Blue, and Yellow, obviously based on the previous games, his school uniform and one of the characters is also a bit based off on another character in Persona 5. So yeah, it's clear reference. It's a clear reference.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and then his school outfits are cool too.
Oh yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts, because he has like, you know, the Joker persona, and then he has his regular form. So it's just like, I'm beating up a school kid. That's not right. So now, of course, we can't talk about Update 3.0 without talking about all the other stuff that came out, including the Stage Builder. And I know we are an
Woo-hoo.
E-rated podcast most of the time, but I cannot hold back my contempt by saying, you perverts!
Yeah.
You know what you've done, all right? You know what you've done. You've
Dude, it's the
made such
internet. What do you
dirty,
expect?
dirty stages. What is wrong with you?
It's the internet. What do you expect? They don't care.
I expect respect, Will. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. Part of this is Nintendo's fault. Because if you recall, the Super Smash Bros. Brawl, didn't mean for that to rhyme, but I'm glad it did. Stage Builder, you didn't have a freehand tool. You just had, I could place a block here, and you built up from there. Here, you have a freestyle mode where you could draw whatever the heck you want. So guess what they drew, ladies and gentlemen?
You don't even
Off
need to
brand.
tell them.
No, I'm not going to
Off
tell them.
brand.
They know what they drew.
There's so much off brand stuff. I know. I
It's
know.
terrible. It's wrong, really, because again, they're uploading this to the internet where actual children are going to be seeing this, and they're going to say, "Hey, mom, dad, what's that?" And their parents are going to be horrified. I thought you said this was an E-rated title, son. It is.
I mean, if anything, there's no doubt about it, Nintendo's gonna do some, have to do some management in regards to those things. But as you know, the internet does not care. It will make it. It was just, again, it's the rules of the internet. What do you expect?
I expect decency from my Nintendo fans.
You know, this stage builder outside of that, though, is actually really cool. It's the best one yet, I would say. There's a
yes.
lot of cool features in it. But I think my favorite is that you can, instead of having those really bland and generic preset backgrounds, you can now build over any stage, which is
Yes.
wonderful.
A certain amount, like I think it was like four, eight, about like 12 different backgrounds from different stages. Yeah, I think real quick.
I did my first one on the Fire Emblem background, the massive Colosseum stage. I'm still getting used to the stage builder. It does feel a little weird at times, but I make it work, especially with the freehand tool. I'm still having to, you know, it's hard to draw a straight line with your finger. So, whatever. But I am enjoying this, and we'll definitely have to see if we can play on each other's stages when we do battle with one another. So.
Right, and like that's also regard to the whole Smash World as well. You can actually can choose and download people's thing, people's stages
Right.
if I'm correctly back in the trailer. So yeah, like basically it's pretty much like a little like a semi revival of the Miiverse, if anything else.
Yep, and the Miiverse was also perverted. You dang dirty people. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things.
and yeah, also like just also briefly as well, because before the whole stage that we also have a new Mii costume, which obviously based on the Persona games, and
Among others.
yeah, and the only thing I'm just kind of like a little bit picky about is because that Nintendo, couldn't you just bundle them all together instead of just charging each 75 cents? I mean, granted, it is 75 cents each, but can you not put a bundle like you did last time? That's just my little pet peeve.
I agree with that. I think that would have been fair. Because, I mean, again, they're just costumes. Why not just bundle them together? It makes more
I
sense that
agree.
way.
I agree. It's extremely penny pinching.
Oh. Yeah, but overall, 3.0, minus, of course, the clear omission of the Marth updates. The horror. The
Yeah.
horror.
Well, how about that? No, I do think that the balance version of this was very disappointing. I mean, Smash Ultimate is a very flawed game. The engine is great. I've said it 100 times. The speed is great. The dodging mechanics are great. Some characters' moves don't work, and they didn't fix that. Like, I don't understand why Sonic's up air still doesn't link. Like, you hit the first hit, that's a bad for you because the opponent just falls out and then they hit you and you die. Like, there's no reason for that. Dancing Blade, you hit the first three moves, the fourth one will always miss. Unless you hit at the very base of the sword in the beginning, the fourth one will just miss. It's a useless move that doesn't work the way it should. I don't understand why it's like that. And a lot of Diddy Kong's hitboxes are very similar, where they look like they're hitting the person, But they just, the game's like, no, that's the, you missed. Like, the hitbox detection on that is terrible. And they didn't fix that. Now, they did buff some of the weaker characters. Diddy Kong did get some buffs, which I was happy about. But they also buffed Olimar, who is currently definitely a top five character in the game and absolutely needs to be nerfed. And they buffed him. They have no idea how to balance a game, and it's really frustrating. I do like a lot of the changes that they made. They nerfed projectiles across the board, which is good. Projectiles were a little stupid strong in this, especially online. So now your shield is a little better against projectiles. You can just block them, and you're not going to get your shield popped. I don't know if Samus used to have a combo that was down B on shield into beam, which was true if they shielded the bomb and it would blow up the shield. I kind of hope that was still in because Samus isn't that good, but moves like that got nerfed a lot, which I think is helpful to the game overall. They're trying to make it more aggressive, which is I'm always a fan of, but just there's so many things in this game that are screwed up and they didn't fix. I mean, Snake's explosions on his grenades and his C4 are wild. They are so big. They take up a ridiculous amount of space, and they should be nerfed. And they didn't touch that. I think they nerfed Snake in a few other ways, but they also buffed him in a few other ways. I just don't think that they know how to balance the game. And really, I think that the issue is that they're not sure if they're balancing it for casual play or competitive play or online play, because you know, if you're looking at top level, those players certainly have issues with projectiles. So that projectile nerf really doesn't change the game too much at a very top level. For people like me who like to play online, that's a big change that will improve the game. But some of the character changes are the same thing. Like, the best Peach is a character who wins so many big tournaments, and she got no nerfs. I mean, I think they may have made her turnips weaker on shield, which is a projectile nerf, which was for everybody. I don't understand how they're approaching this. They didn't buff Little Mac at all. Little Mac's still, you know, a garbage character that's just pretty much useless in every way, every phase of the game. I'm so disappointed in those changes. I mean, obviously Joker was the big point of the patch, but I the game to me is still really flawed, and it's not as fun as previous Smash games because of it. And I wish that they took the chance they took the opportunity to change it. But this tells me that they don't really see the problem with having moves that literally don't work.
Well, we'll see how it goes from here. All right.
I like how I get so angry.
I don't want to fight with you. I mean, you're clearly passionate about this issue. You're not wrong in much of what you said. So the best thing we could do is wait and see how it all goes.
Right. And also add one more thing is because, like, obviously, like, a lot of people were also expecting a bit of, like, online improvement as well, which clearly it is not shown here.
So no, not at all.
That's kind of also another thing as well.
I've still had no problems with the internet. Oh, well. All right, so we're going to do two main events tonight, and the first one is actually an offshoot of what we were talking about last week with Yoshi's Crafted World in regards to easy modes and what their place is in the modern world of gaming. So we're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. Tyler, your
discussion. Well, it's been a big topic. I would say, I don't know, since Sekiro.
Since the beginning of the month, yes.
Yes, since that release, it's been a big topic. And really, anytime From Software releases a game, people freak out about whether or not games should be made more accessible or not. And of course, with Nintendo, that makes me, I always will bring things back to Nintendo when I think they do a great job of blending difficulty with accessibility in games. But let's start with, I guess, the general idea. Do you think game developers should make their or add difficulty settings that make games more accessible for everyone?
Go ahead.
As in all things, it depends. And so, actually, Smash Brothers is a great example of this. You can't have an easy mode in Smash Brothers when it comes to online gameplay. Or you could now in classic mode.
I'm going to challenge you right there, though. I'm sorry, but you can. The way the Global Smash Power works, that changes who you fight, and therefore if you're a low level, if you have a low rating, you're going to play low level players.
But you also, and but then it's you, easier. But you have also questioned in the past how there are times when you have a higher smash power and yet you still fight a lower character than you, which means you're not fighting someone on your par.
I mean, occasionally, I mean, their system isn't 100% perfect, but it's pretty close. I haven't had any issues with that in a long time. I am always within, especially when you're in Elite Smash. Then
all right, I'll do a different example then. Let's see. Paper Mario. There's one. Paper Mario is a very simple RPG. Paper Mario is very accessible, but also it doesn't have a hard mode. It doesn't have an easy mode. It just is Paper Mario, and the difficulty is in how much you train, how much you know your characters, how well you use your teams, and the items you have, which is something that's standard across many RPGs. And then there's something like Dark Souls, which has difficulties, but not an easy mode, because that would actually break the game, because it's supposed to be hard. And Sekiro, apparently, is supposed to be hard. And so, while I do agree that some games should have an easy mode, like Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem has casual mode where you can not lose any characters. You can bring them back and everything. That's fine. Or you have the regular mode where you risk losing them in every single battle and you have to work hard to keep them alive or do what I do and restart the game anytime you lose a character. Because I refuse to lose a single man or woman. Especially if her name is Cordelia.
Wait, but why do those games have to be hard?
It's about intent. It's about intent. Mm-hmm. It's about they're trying to do with the game. It's like
Fire Emblem, you said Fire Emblem is a good example of a game that should have an easy mode.
An example of one that has an easy mode for good, or a casual mode for good reasons.
Okay, so why is Fire Emblem having a casual mode? Why is that a good reason for Fire Emblem, but not Sekiro?
Oh, I can't speak much for Sekiro because I have not played it. All I know is what I've heard about it. But Fire Emblem understands that people get attached to these characters. And they draw bonds to these characters. And the last thing they want is a character that they've bonded with over, you know, however many chapters to accidentally die because they made a small mistake. Which is actually, if you recall Radiant Dawn, that's why they had the battle save feature.
Right.
Because
right.
those levels got so dang hard at times, especially the Castle Siege in Alencia storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Hated that level. Really good, but it was so hard. But they gave you the battle save feature because they knew that it was going to be hard, and they didn't want you to lose a character that you had grown attached to. Now, not all the Fire Emblem games had this, obviously, but now they all do, with the exception of, obviously, Fire Emblem Heroes, because they want you to have the option to save your characters or to have them, quote-unquote, die, but then resurrect at the end of the level so that you don't lose them. That makes sense. But then there are other games that, you know, they want you to feel the burn. They want you to feel the intensity and the struggle. A Dark Souls, a Bloodborne, a Neo, not the Matrix, the other Neo. you know, and Sekiro. They want you to struggle. They want you to feel that when you win, if you win, you have accomplished something.
Right. Exactly. And because this also kind of goes in well regarding to what, since you are currently downloading Cuphead, and as everyone knows, Cuphead is just downright brutal, if anything else. And I mean, speaking from Sekiro's side point of view, because you already know like what they have, the track record. I mean, you've seen this, like, yeah, Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, like Bloodborne. You already know FromSoftware is known to be having brutal games. Sekiro no exception. You already know what you're getting yourself into, to say the least. And, like, for bringing easy mode to Sekiro, I mean, I wouldn't mind it, per se. And again, I don't want the audience to, like, misconceive it, because, again, like, I'm basically kind of a bit of a centrist here. Like, sure, it would be okay to have a easy mode, but at the same time, like, this whole basic thing of, like, you gotta respect what From Software is creating in the first place. Because, like, they made this game clearly because they want to give the player a challenge. I mean, sure, if you want to go, like, mod on easy mode, which in the PC version of it, that's your thing. If you want to, like, try to get through the game itself. I mean, if it's too tough for you, fine, you do your own thing. But from Monolith, not Monolith, sorry, From Software, clearly made this game with this intent, as you said, Todd, to give you that challenge. And once you have been that overcoming that challenge, like you learned the patterns, you learn how to get good, and just basically overcome that wall and that satisfaction. That's kind of like what they were going to intend in the first place. I mean, I've seen they get the Sekiro gameplay and the bosses, and some of these bosses, I mean, again, they have that philosophy of being tough but fair. Because like you basically, yeah, you died so many times over and over, but you learn or adapt and then you overcome. That's kind of what their mantra has always been all throughout their entire games. Going back to the easy mode debate is like, again, that's basically up to them to decide. As like with Yoshi Woolly World and like Mark with Nintendo games, like sure there is that easy mode if you wish to do so. I mean, again, it's just Nintendo's thing has been always about accessibility. Like, sure, easy to get into, but if you want to master it, there is that challenge. I mean, Yoshi definitely has that challenge if you are looking for it. Mario has that challenge if you're looking for it, especially with those like the Pit of 100 Trials, like in back in Thousand Year Door. For Sekiro's case, is like if you want to put an easy mode, that's really up to them. But for people like saying that it should be accessible, I mean, given granted that journalists have reviewed games in a short amount of time, perhaps they just want to help do basically get these games quickly as possible. Maybe that's the reason, I don't know. But they also should, like, I feel people should understand that, again, that's the creator's intent. They're not gonna hold your hands. I mean, hey, we grew up in the age of like Konami and Contra. That thing is most of the brutal thing until people learn of the Konami code.
I think you guys are nuts. I really do. I don't understand that argument at all. I think that that's insane. Like, you look at, so you, I mean, I there's so many points that you've made that I could address here. You look at Paper Mario, I guess, is the game that we've been throwing around a lot. I mean, that's an RPG. Yes, there's no set difficulty mode, but that game is pretty easy. Like, it's not a challenging game. I beat that game when I was 10. So
Yeah, you clearly don't remember some of the bosses, especially Thousand Year Door's end boss.
no, I do. I
Yes,
do.
yes,
The end
yes,
boss of
yes.
Thousand Year Door was tough for me when I was 10, but it was something that was I was able to overcome through going back to that shop and buying a bunch of items and making Jelly Ultras at the shop and then coming in and saying, "Okay, my health is low because I can't block. I'm just going to eat this and restore all of my flower points and all my heart points." And then you're good again. I mean, you could make that game a cakewalk if you were willing to do what I did when I was younger and run through and you equip the best badges and you but get the best items coming into the boss. You could just use what's it called, Repel Gel, and be invincible for the entire boss fight if you wanted to. I could never accuse that game of being hard. And I think that's the difference here, is that Sekiro, I'm gonna keep saying it wrong. Sekiro is
Oh no,
a
Sekiro, take your pick.
it,
It's
okay,
great. Your
I'll
pick
just
doesn't
say it
matter.
Sekiro. That makes more sense to me. A game of that difficulty, right? If it's something that's too hard for people to get through, that's fine. But they should have the ability to turn that down to an easier mode. I think that the issue that people are saying, the get good crowd, totally misses, and I don't understand how it's possible to miss, is that not everybody is able to get good. Like, I know plenty of my friends who have played games that were just too hard for them. They couldn't do it, and they'd say, "Hey, could you come over and beat this for me?" Some people want to experience the story. Some people love the gameplay. It's not all about the challenge. And if you're paying that much money for the game, I'm not saying that they have to put it in. I think that the game would be better if they did. And I think people who can criticize the fact that it doesn't have an easy mode are right. I think that that makes it objectively a weaker game. It's objectively a worse game because not everybody can get through it and see it to the end. I think that that's a real flaw in a game design. You look at a game like Celeste. I died 1,000 times in that game. I never turned on assist mode. I went through it and I had the greatest time. I could see people who couldn't get through that game getting frustrated. And fortunately, that game has assist mode where you can customize so spikes don't hurt you. You can customize so you never get tired while
Right, they
climbing.
had the busy invisibility mode. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, there you and you can tweak every little detail of that game to make it so you get the experience that you want to get. Now, they recommend that you play it on hard mode, which is great because that's the way that they wanted you to play it. But they trust you as a player to say, "Okay, I can't do this. At this point, I would have more fun and I could experience this story if I switched to a different mode." even a game like Celeste, which is, that game is tied to its difficulty. Like Sekiro, I don't think From Software sets out to make games that are impossible just for the sake of making games that are, just for the sake of making games that are impossible. I think those games are good on their own merits outside of their difficulty. And Celeste, a big part of that message is the trying and the failing over and over and over. And even that game, which is difficulty, does benefit the overall gameplay, had those options. And it was strictly better for it. I mean, I look at a game like Kid Icarus Uprising, to me, that's the gold standard of difficulty in games. Because you can make that game, you had to pay like money, but you can make it just zero, you could turn it to 0.0 difficulty.
The intensity.
And just right through it. Yeah, the intensity meter. You can make it 0.0 and walk right through it, no problem. Experience the story, listen to all Pitt's funny quips, have a great time. You could play it on 5.0, which was moderately challenging, or like a kind of a normal mode scenario. Or you could turn it up to 9, and then it becomes a ridiculously brutal game. And it intelligently would scale depending on how you were doing. So if you lost at 9.0 difficulty, the game would automatically drop you down to 8.0, and then you'd respawn, and then it would be a little bit easier. So you'd get that even added an incentive to continue to play on that higher difficulty, because if you lost, not a big deal. You can come back at a lower one and keep going, and you would get this feeling of, okay, I got this far on 9.0 last time through the level. This time I'm going to try to get past that bench point and get to this next point. And it made the game so much more fun. I feel that Nintendo does a pretty good job with difficulty in their games, particularly Sakurai. Sakurai is definitely the best at it. But you look at even games like Mario Kart, games like Smash Bros. Again, with the global Smash Power system, not an amazing for competitive players, but it does group you with people who are around your skill. Kirby games, those are a little too easy for me. But I don't think that the issue really stretches too far that way, where you start to, a game can be easy for sure. I think Kirby Star Allies was too easy and the game wasn't beneficial because, or wasn't as good because of it. But really, we only hear these conversations because a lot of the pain from that comes from wanting to see the game through to the end. And I mean, sometimes the game is just too hard. And I think a lot of people think, oh, just get better at it. But that's not I don't think that that's a good way to look at it. I think that it's a genuine flaw in a game, and people should be able to criticize it without people jumping down their throats saying, oh, get good, get good, get good. That's just like saying the game has bad graphics to me.
I mean, don't get me wrong, because like I definitely am sympathetic regarding to it, because obviously the last thing you want to do is basically gatekeep, like play gatekeeper and like basically be, this is just going to be an exclusive game for only those who have particular skills. Sure, I mean, for Sekiro, I've been hearing the cases like, yeah, I don't mind if Sekiro has an easy game, but at the same time, it also doesn't really need to have an easy mode, because again, that's all on From Software's parts. I mean, again, I'm pretty much like, if they want to do it, fine. If they don't want to do it, that's also fine. That's really up to their intent. And just having an easy mode on such a hard game itself, I mean, again, it doesn't matter. Like, bringing more people in it, fine. I definitely see it on that point.
There's just also, no way anyone could say that would make the game worse. It's just what you're saying. I mean, you're not saying that it would make the game worse.
Because like the last thing you want to do is be a gatekeeping. Of course, you don't want to make this thing exclusive to like a certain people. Of course, that's the last thing. Because again, the more people experience the thing, sure, that's just a win for everyone to get more sales and all that. But again, Sekiro has sold in more than 2 million copies of this game and all throughout the systems, and it just kind of shows that people understood From Software's message of like what they're getting themselves into, and difficulty wise, like again, they rise up. I mean, sure, it's like there are those. I acknowledge that there are people who can't overcome these challenges, and they ask for an easier mode to that. I mean, sure, if they add an easy mode, fine, because again, it will help them get through. But at the same time, it's just like, yeah, they don't brag, because like the one of the main things that kind of made set the fire is because like Taco basically put this article that they openly put cheats in the game, and like, yeah, I put cheats and I have no problems with it. I mean, yeah, that's their personal enjoyment, fine, that's their thing. But the way you brag about that, like, yeah, that's kind of, you're asking basically putting a painting a target on your back that you're celebrating cheating. So yeah, that's kind of like what people got iffy about. But
That copy pasta is so funny. That copy pasta is hilarious. The you've only cheated yourself. It's a shame that you can't notice the difference, but it's like a
yeah, came with me.
long line
That
of
was great.
cheese.
Here's another way you need to look at this, Tyler. And I'm going to use Smash Bros. Again, but in a grander context. All right. When it comes to fighting games as a genre, there are games that are meant to be for everyone. There are games that are meant to be easy enough to pick up. And then there's Mortal Kombat, Blaze Blue, and Guilty Gear, which are meant for the get good generation.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat's pretty simple. It's
Sometimes.
very accessible. I'm not
At
great at
times.
traditional fighting games. Mortal Kombat is accessible.
All right, but there are other ones that,
I think your point is well taken.
yeah, it's like there are, why can't every fighting game have a simplified control scheme like Smash Brothers? I do good at Smash Brothers, despite your beating me all the time, excluded. I do good at Smash Brothers, and I know how to control my guys in Smash Brothers. But for college one time, I went to this game lab we had where it had all these games we could play, and we were researching fighting games because we were making one ourselves, and we played Mortal Kombat, and my friend who had played Mortal Kombat knew all the controls, he schooled me every time because I had no idea how to do these bloody combos, because it was like, up, side, B, A, and it's like, what is going on here? And Blaze Blue is the same way. When I was playing a Blaze Blue cross tag battle with Will, I had to do some serious customization on my control schemes just because they had all these super, chained combos that you have to do just to do these certain moves, and all I wanted to do was the basic ones that I knew I could do without much effort, because I prefer the simplicity of a fighting game system. And yet there's other ones like Tekken or Guilty Gear that
Right.
are designed to be for technical fighting gamers, and they sell. Like Tekken 7 was one of the best, was the best selling of the franchise because of the customization it had and the details you could put into the fighting system to make it suit your needs. But it was still the most technical fighting game out there. So it's the same thing. Why can't everything be as accessible as Smash Bros.? Because that's not what people want all the time. They want a system at times that'll make sure that they know what they're doing, that they can prove that they are good, and that when they win, it's not just because they're button mashers. Because every serious fighting gamer hates a button masher.
Okay, I
Because
mean that again, that I see where you're coming from, but a player versus player experience, that's absolutely different than a single player experience. The single player ladder in Mortal Kombat, for example, you can play it on very easy, and that you can just press X and win on that, and it's people will enjoy that. There are difficulty options there. Now, as far as complex control schemes go, I would say if they work, then that's fine. But if they're unnecessarily convoluted for no reason, I would say that that is a flaw in the game that you should be able to criticize.
you're just a hater, Tyler.
You say that whenever I make a point that you don't have a response
Hater!
to.
Hater!
No,
No.
I get so frustrated seeing people say, "Oh, get good," or when people say, "Oh, this game was hard," people, "Oh, get good." Some people aren't like you, and they can't play 5 hours a day and practice over and over and over. And they
I agree.
enjoy the game, but they can't get past a certain boss, and they can't sit there and try for 3 hours at a time. Like they just that's not doesn't fit in their lives. And I do think that that is a flaw in the game. You look at Breath of the Wild, for example. It's another good example of a
And
Nintendo game with difficulty done right. It can be very, very
actually, let
hard.
me add one more thing is Super Mario Odyssey, because like you saw, like once you like die so many times, actually asked the game play out for you. Remember that time? But unfortunately, once you get that start, it becomes a bronze 10 in Super Mario Odyssey, not Odyssey, Galaxy, Galaxy.
Yes. True. And that lets you continue on. You can press forward that way, and that's a good example for sure. In Zelda, you can if you're stumble into a tough area or you're in a fight that you can't win, you just turn your back and run away. You don't have to be good at that game to beat it. That being said, you can go and stare down a Lionel with just a stick on your back and beat it. That's very possible, and a great player could accomplish that. But you don't have to be that great to enjoy the game fully. And I think that that's one of its crowning achievements.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. Now, I
Yeah.
understand your points, Tyler. It's just, I think what this really speaks to is the freedom of the game developers to make the game they want. Because
Yes.
if they have to tailor their games to fit every person that might possibly want to play it, they're going to sacrifice something that they don't want to lose. It's just like, and here's a good one, Mortal Kombat. You know, we were talking last week about how Ed Boon was like, though the violence isn't what makes Mortal Kombat. And that may be true, but you can't deny that a lot of people are going to play this game because they want to see all the blood and gore and fatalities. But if they were capitulating to everyone who might want to play this game, including, you know, 7-year-old Tommy, his parents aren't going to want him to play a gore game, so where's the no blood feature, Ed Boon? There's always
exactly,
going to be sacrifices if you try and capitulate to everyone.
There used to be a no blood feature.
Oh, I know, but they got rid of it
back in SNES days.
Yeah.
But that was long. That was a long time ago. So
no, I agree, but I do think that it's fair to say, like, the developers don't have to put an easy mode in. That being said, if you had a game like Sekiro, exactly as hard as it is, with an option of an easy mode like Celeste, for example, the game is objectively better. It's the same game. That you get that exact experience that the developers wanted you to get if you play it on. They can put hard, recommended difficulty, or even describe it as normal, recommended difficulty. And then you get that experience. But having the option to turn it down and back up just inherently makes it a better game. And your point about Mortal Kombat is very fair as well. But I would then stick with that logic and say, yeah, somebody could say there should be a way to turn off the blood on that. It would probably be a better game if you had that. It really comes down to the fundamental, what is a game? I think that's actually a fair point, because that you go down that rabbit hole, then every game should have everything.
Exactly.
But a fundamental point is what makes the game what it is. And for a game like Sekiro, I think that's a real knock if you're saying the only thing that it is, this game is only worth experiencing for its difficulty. Its difficulty is a necessary way to enjoy the game. I think that means that the game isn't as strong as it should be.
Well, let me know how it is once you play Cuphead, then we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Cuphead.
Cuphead is one of the most brutal games out there.
It is. I love hard games, but again, Cuphead would probably be better. Well, it'd definitely be better if you could. If you can play on easy mode in Cuphead. You just get, like, you can't advance until you do it on hard, so you can't practice on easy mode. Which, you know, that was a smart decision by them. I think, but it would probably be better if you could advance after that. Still, you know, approaching difficulty is definitely challenging. But I think the more options, the better. And if a game is it's only worth playing because it's so hard, then you basically get, like, your favorite game would be those internet flash games that were like the Impossible Quiz, where you would have to click a red button really, really fast, and if you didn't do it, you'd get game over, and it would just only hit you because these things are coming so quickly and you don't know what's next, that they're literally impossible.
Again, as human beings, we like to do insane things, nonsensical things, to the point where it all seems masochistic, to say the least. And again, our boss Keith, like, played Bloodborne so many times, New Game Pluses, again, is almost the point I wonder our boss's mental health. But again, he plays it, and a lot of people ought to do it as well. So, and again, it's really up to, like, naturally, it's up to the player as well as the developer itself. I mean, easy mode, I mean, if they have an easy mode, fine. But personally, I don't really care if it has an easy mode or hard mode, because again, I'm a casual Fire Emblem. I mean, if given the case, I probably would play easy mode just to get through the story, but I don't want to, like, sacrifice that experience of, like, losing that sense of heavy loss of Fire Emblem, so I probably just stick to classic mode. I mean, again, it's really, like, again, I don't mind if it is an easy mode, but at the same time, I don't really care or, like, mind they don't have an easy mode, because again, that's the creator's intent.
I sense a poll question in our future. So, now that that's over with, finally, Tyler, how dare you drag the song forever? Nah, I'm just kidding. It was a good conversation. This weekend, we have the next Splatfest, and I'm happy to say I'm actually going to be free to play it significant amounts of time. I say that now, then I'll get busy. I'll be like, why? So, we got a classic matchup. It's Team Tortoise versus Team Hare. Who are we gonna pick? Well, it's time to settle it in Splat. I I find this topic infinitely interesting because this actually harkens back to our breakdown of the Pokemon Sword and Shield starters. Tyler, if you remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course I remember that.
Yes. So,
I'm backed into a corner here.
yes, you are. Because Team Hare is Team Pearl. So, if you go against the Hare, then that means your Pokemon article was a lie.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm going Team Tortoise.
Oh, okay, fine. By all means, Team Tortoise, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Team Tortoise, of course. I mean, I've been through this. Hare's very overrated. I mean, you look at all the bunnies in history, particularly, Peter Rabbit. You
Bugs
look
Bunny.
at Briar Hare, or
Ba
and
Babs Bunny. Buster Bunny.
you look at the hare that lost the race to the tortoise.
Jackrabbit.
I mean, these animals are extremely overrated. Also, bunnies as pets, horrifying. Bunnies are terrible
Oh,
pets.
yes,
They
I
smell,
agree. I
they poop
agree.
a lot,
My
they kick
sister
stuff
will kill
around.
you if she heard you say that.
Listen, you know it's true though. You know it's true. Bunnies are terrible pets. They are kind of cool, like looking, but they just run away from you. Bunnies get there, they're terrified of you. They are a trash animal in a lot of ways. Outside of Bugs Bunny, who we have to respect, we have to admire Bugs Bunny, but just overall, this is not close. I mean, tortoises, they are phenomenal. The turtles in general, there's a th you look at the great turtles of history. You got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're
Oh, yeah,
amazing.
that
That
one.
sea turtle in Finding Nemo. Don't forget that the sea turtle in Finding Nemo. That's critical. You got let me think of some other great turtles
Yes,
here.
do you think of some other great turtles that
The
aren't the
turtle
Teenage
that
Mutant?
beat the hare in Tortoise and the Hare. Did I mention the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, you mentioned the TMNT.
Okay, yeah, my roommate called me and I was distracted.
Yeah.
Yes, well, I'll let somebody else speak for a second. I gotta mute myself
I
and
will
take.
go because I must defend the honor of the rabbits. All right. So
Uh-oh.
let's just break down all the lies in Tyler's speech because he is forgetting an infinite amount of great rabbits. Of course, Bugs Bunny of Looney Tunes. But what about Babs and Buster Bunny of Tiny Toon Adventures? Okay. Oh, no relation, by the way. How about Roger Rabbit from one of the most important movies of all time and Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And what about Thumper from Bambi? Okay. Hey, if he could have the sea turtle who he doesn't even know the name of, I get Thumper out of Bambi. Oh, how about the Energizer Bunny? Because that thing keeps going and going and going and going. Oh, what about you classic movie fans? I'll give you one word. Harvey. There you go. Harvey, Jimmy Stewart. Well, have you ever seen that movie?
I know about Little Stewart.
No, idiot. Jimmy Stewart in the movie Harvey. You ever
No.
heard of that?
No, I'm
Oh
not
my
coded that
gosh,
way.
break my heart, Will, so many times. Hey, classic movie fans know why that movie is important. Basically, never mind, I'm gonna play this hard, it's take too long. How about Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? All right, that's right, the guy who came before Mickey Mouse, the original creation of Walt Disney, huh? Or how about Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh? He's so epic, his name is Rabbit. Okay, all right, okay. How about this one? You should know this one, Will. Miyamoto Usagi.
Oh, Miyamoto Usagi. Yes, I know
Yes,
him inside the
the
club, yeah.
legendary comic rabbit who has transcended media and appeared on multiple series of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he was the star of the show when he was on those episodes. And of course, the piece de la resistance, the Trix Rabbit. Bam!
Really?
Hey, I'm going to. Hey, s silly, silly w rabbit. Tricks are for kids, but that rabbit is eternal. Okay. And hey, there are no turtle mascots for cereal, so suck it, Tyler. All right, rabbits. Rabbits are awesome. Okay. And you say, oh, rabbits are hard to raise. No, they're not. My sister had one, and the only reason it died was because it was old. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, yes, if you put a rabbit and a another rabbit of the opposite gender together, things do get complicated. But that doesn't mean that they're hard to raise. They're actually really easy to raise. You give them very simple food, they drink from water, they exercise themselves, they don't bite you that often, they don't run away from you that often. They're good stuff. They're easy to raise, easy to contain. So, I don't know what he is talking about. I don't know why he thinks that they are. Oh, I forgot one. I apologize. Officer Judy Hopps of Zootopia. Hello? How about that? Or how about the White Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland? Hello? So, I could go on and on here. I literally have a list of all the legendary rabbits in history, and I will take you down, Tyler. So, oh, my gosh. The Easter Bunny. Bam!
Funny
the
enough,
Easter Bunny.
Yes.
Easter's this Sunday. How could I forget the Easter Bunny, Tyler?
Oh, you... okay. I'm back. Sorry, I had to let my roommate.
You just
I'm gassed. I ran down the stairs and then I ran up. Sorry, hold on.
You literally just missed me listing 103 legendary rabbits of history.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad that you filibustered that long. Well, listen, I forgot Koopa Troopa and Squirtle. I was thinking about them on the way down.
Or
too.
I was about to say
how about
I was
Bowser.
About to add on to that.
Idiot. Because Bowser's a turtle.
I mean, we'll
Bowser's a celestial turtle. Because I'm also putting my piece because I'm going with the turtle side as well. And I just want to go and say this: the antithesis of Bugs Bunny, Cecil the turtle. Because if you remember that one cartoon where Bugs Bunny faced against Cecil the turtle, he was
yes.
more of the antagonist of Bugs Bunny. Like, what took you so long?
Yeah, and you remember how Cecil won that race? He had to call in every other turtle he had just to trick Bugs into thinking he lost.
Turtles are smarter than
that. He won!
No. Again, it already goes back to playing of the old fable folktale. Like, you because Bugs Bunny, he had hubris. Even though we love him as the character we know him today, he had hubris. He got cocky.
That's the point of the story. He was supposed to be cocky.
Bottom line is, again, turtles, they are, even though they are slow, they are patient. They are
Raphael,
wise.
Raphael. Michelangelo.
Again, that was turtles, different medias.
You can't do that. You just said that turtles are patient. Turtles, general. I just gave you two legendary turtles who are so far from patient. You lose.
Different medias, different comics.
You can't do that. You can't say that turtles are patient, and then I give you two turtles, and you go, oh, that's different media. That doesn't mean that. Then by that token, Bugs is exempt from that rule, because in that media, he was supposed to be cocky, and yet in the other Looney Tunes cartoons, he's not.
Oh, man. So moving on to the freaking Bowser, and like going back to the celestialness of Bowser. I mean, remember, we have Doug Bowser running Nintendo. We have a Bowser running Nintendo. And yes, I know it's not related, but again, Bowser is turtle. And I just want to go give that a little history lesson. Bowser is actually based on one of the celestial four guardians of Eastern history, if not remember, of Genbu. And the turtle of that. Of like representing of the southeastern culture, one of the four guardians is like, yeah, how the heck can you beat a celestial guardian? I mean, aside from like the only famous hare that I know is probably the hare that actually jump hopped it high enough to actually reach the moon, that's just the only famous mythological rabbit that I know. I mean, do you want to have a rabbit that actually jumps high to the moon, or do you want to have a great celestial turtle that has, if not, just bring great blessings? I don't know. I prefer Bowser if anything else. And reverting back to that old famous tale, like, I'm just looking at the conversation. Like, do you really expect history to repeat itself? That history gonna repeat? They're gonna be changed throughout in the future. I mean, again, like if you do not learn from history, you are destined to repeat it. And I don't know. I feel like I get the feeling that this coming Splatfest, like. People are just gonna like, oh, just go for rabbit. They're gonna go fast. Like again, I'm not talking Sonic, but if they're gonna go fast, yeah, I think Hubert's gonna get to their head. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with turtles.
I gotta mention Tip Top as well from Diddy Kong Racing and the Banjo Kazooie games.
Terriermon from Digimon and all of its evolutions.
That being said, the closing argument, and this really ends the discussion.
Oh,
rabbits' life expectancy. 2 years. They die in 2 years max. Turtles? A regular house turtle? If you want to have a house pet turtle? 80 years. 80 years. So.
A European rabbit can last 9 years.
Wow. 9 years compared to 80 years. That's
well, then,
the longest.
Actually,
and the rabbit sea turtles live for like 300 years.
But actually, that's actually a detriment. Think about it. Think about it objectively. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have a pet. You have a child who wants a pet. What are you going to give it? A turtle that it'll have to take care of for the rest of its life?
Oh, no, I'm not worried about
that. Or a rabbit that it'll take care of, and then if it dies, it may not want another pet because of the love it had for that original one. Turtles last forever, which means it's costing you more money to take care of. You have to make sure you look after it for much, much longer, while a rabbit, much like a dog or a cat, only lasts a certain number of years.
And also, I just want to add in one more turtle. The reason that even turtles are much better than hares, the alligator snapping turtle. Take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And on
jackalope.
The pet factor, they're both bad pets, one. But
true.
We're really just talking about the fact that rabbits live for 2 years. Turtles
sometimes
live for 80 years. That's
sometimes
a big difference.
It's not,
there.
You
rabbits
know that's not for all turtles.
Suck. Yeah, well, I mean, most turtles live for like 300 years. True. Good point. Good point for Team Turtle. And when you're at the zoo, do you see rabbits? No, you see a gigantic tortoise. That's you know, another a big W for Team Turt.
it's just so wrong how you guys are just disrespecting these rabbits. When it's clear
Listen,
that
Score Bunny is a trash.
Oh, Score Bunny's awesome. Shut your mouth.
It's trash.
I was waiting for you. Like, I don't know if you're gonna put it in the podcast. Like half the freaking rabbits of Rayman put as support.
Yeah, raving rabbits. There you go. Bah! You know that's the creatures that were in the Mario game that was totally more awesome than we expected it to be. Yeah. So the rabbits.
I mean... That doesn't erase the long history of rabbits. I believe I remember you saying you hated rabbits.
I hated the concept of
yes,
the rabbits, and
yes,
I will not
well,
deny that. But
well,
that doesn't mean I don't like rabbits and rabbits
that
in
makes
general.
You think, my friend. That makes you think.
What? That's
that
like me
think.
Saying I like every turtle ever, and I don't.
But how could you not like every turtle? What has a turtle done to you?
You'd be surprised, actually. But... And you'd think I'd hate rabbits because my sister's rabbit died on a very important day for her, but I don't because I knew the rabbit was dang old, and that rabbit was 7 years old. Boom.
Wow, 7 years.
Yes,
7 years. Compared to 80.
I would not want a pet
Yikes.
For 80 years.
No,
okay?
We're not talking about a pet. We're talking about life expectancy in general. Get it
through
then
why
your
do
head.
I care if it lives 80
rabbits
years?
Rabbits are trash. They die right away. That's all I'm trying to say.
You guys are fools. I could keep going on all the great bunnies of history, like Buniri or Bunny Rabbit from the Sonic. Oh, there you go, Bunny Rabbit from Sonic the Hedgehog. Suck it.
Cream the Rabbit.
Cream the Rabbit. There you go. Or how about Max from the Adventures of Sam and Max? All right. Bean Bunny from
the only one
from
of these
Muppets?
I'm giving you credit for is Cream the Rabbit.
Oh please. I could keep going. Oh, Vanilla the Rabbit, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see. That's Care Bears. Who cares about that?
Listen, we get
there's
it.
An ice
you
cream man
have
rabbit?
A weird thing for
oh,
rabbits.
Oh, are you ready for this, Will? Are you ready for this, Will? Dispo from Dragon Ball Super. Boom, it's a rabbit.
Who?
It's one of the
yes.
It's one of the Beerus's gods. Is it Beerus a rabbit? Oh, wait,
he's a cat!
Whatever.
Yeah,
well,
wow.
One of his brothers is a guy
cats.
Named Dispo, and Dispo is a rabbit. So, oh, Peppy Hair. Ha!
I mean, Peppy Hair is a pretty cool rabbit. I'll give you Peppy Hair is as one cool rabbit. Way to go.
I listed 103 in that absence while you were gone, so you can suck it.
That was phenomenal filibustering. I mean,
yes,
that
was.
That was stuff that, like, Mitch McConnell would be like, wow, that
yeah.
was amazing.
Yes, I was amazing. It's a pity you weren't here to see it. So, sorry, that's what you get from having to let your roommate in during a podcast.
Yeah, listen, and it's nice outside. He could have just chilled out there and said, oh, I'm going to take in the scenes, but, oh, I got to go to work.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so clearly this can only be settled in the real Splatfest when it comes this weekend, and I will be fighting for the pride of Team Hair.
Now, we already proved that Team Tortoise is right regardless of what happens tonight, but...
Incorrect.
I mean, this weekend, but...
I just can't wait to extend your losing streak, Tyler.
And it's been a long time.
It is getting long.
It's been a long time.
Yep, just like the life expectancy of a tortoise. Maybe that's how long you're gonna lose.
And I'm just, I just really also just add on, because like also seeing a Pearl Marina's convo about this topic is like also, yeah, you can tell Pearl is really salty, to say the least.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, I am too, given my fellow losing streak.
Yeah. All right, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you.
I didn't know we were so violent.
Sorry, I get called out for that one every now and again. We asked you if you, that was yes, if you liked the designs for the Detective Pikachu trailer.
Oh,
57%
right.
of you said yes, because you're smart. 14% of you said no, because you're dumb. And 29% said you're split 50-50.
Well, that's interesting.
It is.
Huh. All right, well, obviously, today's podcast question is about easy mode. Do you think that there should be an easy mode in all video games? Yes, no, or I think specific ones should. Sound good, Tyler?
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. All
right. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Entertainment Podcast. Make sure you tell us what you think about everything we talked about tonight, including, of course, Joker in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. What do you think of his moveset, the persona, the stage, the other additions? Were you one of the fools who did something very, very dirty in Stage Builder? We want to know so we can judge you harshly on the internet, because that is what we do. Are you looking forward to Mortal Kombat? Are you looking forward to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3? And, of course, who are you picking in the Splatfest for Tortoise and the Hare? So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.